Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk. Rumble. No advice.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Chopper Pete Quinnell, and today I'm joined by Randy Andy Datsun.
Hi, Pete. How are you?
I'm not too bad, mate. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm not bad, not bad. Before everyone else, Pete let out a disgusting belch just before we went on air.
Why are you going to expose me like that, dude?
I don't know. Well, I mean, if you listen to WrestleTalk After Dark podcast, which was we recorded yesterday, you will hear Luke burp and
sneeze.
Basically, yeah. Every single bodily noise that you can make, Luke made on that podcast. Mm. So if you're into that,
it's fantastic audio content. Yes.
Yeah. So go and check that out.
That's for our $10 and above Patreon backers. It's great. There's some discussion points that we're actually going to be talking about in the outro of this podcast. So stick around for that because it's going to be quite entertaining. First, let's get into talking about SmackDown, where we're going to be talking about Matt Riddle is now confirmed to be on SmackDown. Here's the show. But this was a segment that came in from out of nowhere. WWE Hall of Famer Kurt Angle, who's been released, remember, after being special guest referee on NXT this week for Timothy Thatcher versus Matt Riddle, then announced that Matt Riddle is coming to SmackDown. He says, you know, SmackDown people have been great. Look at Edge. Look at all these great people. And also Matt Riddle's going to be joining them soon. And then they had a little vignette of Matt Riddle's highlights from NXT, and he's saying bro a lot, etc.
Yes, so, and he doesn't wear shoes.
And he doesn't wear shoes. It's been reported for a little while that Matt Riddle was going up, and it was speculated that his Fitbit match from NXT was going to be his final match in the promotion, and that seems to be correct, because now he's going to be going up to Smacky D's. So I'm quite curious to see how Matt Riddle's going to fare on the main roster, because I get the feeling that he could do really well. Obviously, Matt Riddle is amazing. And I think his kind of demeanor could appeal to a wide audience of him just being a chilled out bro who likes to have weed, probably. And I feel like that could appeal to a lot of people. So he could organically get over just with his demeanor. Plus, he's a very good wrestler as well. However, I do have my concerns that his demeanor could rub some people up the wrong way backstage. He's already had run-ins with people like Goldberg and Brock Lesnar. So if, you know, he gets on the wrong side of Vince McMahon on a day or something like that, it's very much something that Riddle could do. Vince McMahon is in a bad mood and Riddle just goes like, hey, bro. And Vince is like, you're buried now.
Yeah.
I'm slightly concerned for him, but I hope he does well.
I have two concerns. The first is that the SmackDown writers or the main roster writers will just pepper everything he says with jokes about getting high, and it'll just get so tiresome after 2 weeks. because
that was his character on NXT.
I know, I get that, but like, there's something about main roster jokes that aren't as funny as NXT jokes. I don't know if it's just the different writers, but this is going to be, oh, I'm a high flyer. Oh man, that was dope. Oh, marijuana. That sort of thing. Yeah. And my second concern is that his rumored first feud is with Baron Corbin.
Yeah.
And that immediately stinks of, oh well, you're just a babyface, and you are just a new babyface on SmackDown. Here's Baron Corbin to beat.
Yeah.
There are so many other people who I'd have preferred as a first feud for Matt Riddle. I get they're sort of both tall guys, and I'm sure they might have a couple of good matches together. But I'm not interested in seeing this as his opening feud. I wouldn't mind seeing it down the line. Obviously, they're going to have to face off at some point together. But yeah, I wouldn't have, if it was me doing the booking, I wouldn't have gone, oh, Matt Riddle's coming up. Oh, what are we? Oh, Baron Corbin. That'll get the people excited about Matt Riddle.
Yeah. I mean, I think the only other person that could have possibly been worse would have been Dolph Ziggler. Because that's the perpetual, you're from NXT, face Dolph Ziggler. Yeah. But another thing I'm slightly concerned about is him just becoming a bro machine. I mean, he's already just says bro a lot, but I feel like that's going to be his entire character, is he says bro, that's his character. Yeah. And I really hope that's not the way they go, because I feel like in their heads, marketing stuff with the word bro on it is probably a good idea for them. So I could see why they'd lean in that direction and just be like, just say bro all the time. Just make it so obnoxious. Just say bro in every sentence. Mm. Which I really hope they don't.
Yeah. A further concern is that he won't be able to do his flip-flop flick into the crowd, because then they'll have to be disinfected.
He won't be able to do it right now. Yeah.
No. But let's go positive. It could be awesome. Could very well be amazing. Matt Riddle, as we said, is a brilliant wrestler. He's a brilliant character. He can be funny. He can be really intense. So that there's absolutely no reason why he can't be a success on the main roster. I just hope that he's treated properly and not kind of. I mean, there was a rumor that the reason he's on SmackDown is so he doesn't like come across Brock Lesnar. So as long as he kind of stays in line backstage and doesn't piss anyone off, with his kind of super chilled out, trying to kind of rile people up a bit. As long as he doesn't do that, then I think it's going to be okay. But I think I can't see him being anything other than a babyface.
Totally,
for a long time. His character doesn't fit heel unless he starts doing more like stronger drugs.
True. I think it would be really interesting to see a Matt Riddle heel. I think I've wanted it for ages. Because I've seen that intense side of him when he gets super fired up in his matches and he just goes crazy and, you know, starts screaming at the crowd and stuff. He's so intense. And I feel like if he could channel some of that into a heel character, it would be amazing. But I just don't think he cares enough to do that. I think he's way too chilled out. He's like, ah, it's fine. I'll just be me out there. But I do think, like I said originally, I think he's got such an affable way of doing things that he could very naturally get over, even if WWE didn't want him to get over in a specific way. I reckon he could still do it anyway, because he's just got such a connectable figure that he's got on him. He's just such a magnetic personality. That's what I'm looking for. That people will be drawn to him regardless. So I'm optimistic about Matt Riddle. I've not been optimistic about a lot of NXT call-ups in a long time. Not since Balor, really. But fingers crossed they can do okay with Matt Riddle.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Let's get into talking about the rest of the show, which started off chaotically. So it cold opened to the car park, the parking lot of the Performance Center, where we saw Renee Young was kind of running down a situation where Elias was on the ground, seemingly having been hit by a wrecked car that was in the background. Elias, you know, there were ambulances there and police trying to find out what was going on. They said that there might have been a hit and run. Seems like Elias has been hit by a car. And then they saw Braun Strowman was an eyewitness, and he was there being like, this is crazy. I hope they catch that SOB, etc. And then they were saying that it might have been someone who was drunk that did it. And then a policeman who was there kind of got the registration from the car and saw who the rental car was rented under, and it said it was Jeff Hardy. Now, already, that's got some alarm bells in my head going, because I'm like, are they doing a DUI angle with Jeff Hardy? Doesn't sit right with me, but okay, we'll play it out. And they start looking for Jeff. They find him. He's in like a bush nearby. He looks very grubby. He's very confused. And in Renee Young's words, he's inebriated. He looks to be inebriated.
He's fallen on Hardy times.
Oh, that's... Yep. And so then the policeman and the and Jason Jordan made an appearance out of nowhere. Love you, Jason Jordan. I miss him.
He's returned.
Yeah. And Jamie Noble came out and all that stuff. They were trying to help him to his feet. They were trying to ask him questions about, did he own the car? Has he been drinking? They said, no, he smells of alcohol. They took him away. They arrested him. And they took him away in a police car while Elias got stretchered into the ambulance and got taken away to a local medical facility. So I have some mixed feelings about this segment.
Oh, he's such a social justice warrior, Pete.
I know. Everyone's going to call me a snowflake, but I just didn't like this segment that much. Like, I understand. If people enjoyed it, I get it. I couldn't get invested in it because it was so on the nose. And I think because it was so recent, because this is something that Hardy's obviously had serious addiction problems throughout his life, even as recently as less than a year ago. I think he got taken in for a DUI in like last July or last October or something like that. It was really recent stuff that he's had. And just to kind of use that as an angle really didn't sit right with me. It's like because addiction doesn't really go away. You're just kind of forcing yourself to not relapse, essentially. And to have that and be like, can you act like you were when you actually got arrested in real life, please? Is like, it just doesn't sit right at all. And really struggled to look past, you know, just see it as an angle. All I could see was like, this is like Hardy's real life, you know, with him just being taken away in cuffs for DUIs and things like that. I mentioned this to you before we went on the air to try and put it in a perspective that I think where I'm coming from. If, for example, you had someone on the roster who had some serious mental health issues and at one point in their life had tried to take their life, for example, and then you ran an angle where they tried to commit suicide, to me, that is horrific. Like, you could never get away with that at all. And for me, this is very much the same thing. This is someone who's had some very real life trauma and very real life experiences. And they've just exploited that and tried to replicate it in a real sense, in an angle, to try and further a story, which to me was really bad. And I know by the end of the show, well, not by the end of the show, by the WWE.com breaking news after the show, that he wasn't actually inebriated, fake, in kayfabe. God, what are words. In kayfabe, he wasn't actually inebriated. We know that by the WWE.com exclusive by the end of the show. But just this segment, it really threw me off. Something inside me didn't like it.
Yeah, I do get what you're saying. A sort of counter argument I would say is like, look, it is a real story. They are trying to make a story on SmackDown, and yet it might not be in the best taste, but at least they're going with something. They're running with something. I know, like, Jeff will have signed off on it. I know it might have just been because he's like, okay, yeah, whatever, that's fine. But yeah, he will have signed off on it. He'd been okay with it. There was just slightly other aspects of that didn't quite make sense. I mean, the car looked to be completely undamaged, apart from the hood was popped up.
Yeah, that's how you know it's wrecked, when the hood's up.
Yeah, exactly. Poor Elias is kind of like collateral damage. But then again, if I've been hit by a car, the first thing I would want to see is Renee Young standing over me, so that's fine. But yeah, it was an unexpected way to open SmackDown as well. It is a
totally.
They are trying something new as well, and that's why, while it may not have been in the best taste, I'm not going to be too hard or too down on this segment, because it was something that when the show started, I was like, oh, what's this? Of course, at no point did I actually think Elijah had been hit by a car. I'm not going to put that on the first thing, but as soon as you saw Jeff Hardy, you're like, okay, well, pretty sure I know who's behind this. And the next segment sort of proved my suspicions.
I do agree with you in that it's good that they're doing a story, because SmackDown has been very repetitive for a long time, and just kind of rerunning the same stories and having the stories that they have weren't very good, bar the kind of Mandy Otis, Sonya, Dolph stuff that they had. Most of the stories weren't very good on SmackDown. So having a story, and by the end of the show, there were multiple stories coming out of it. Big thumbs up, SmackDown. I like that they're actually doing stuff with the brand now, which is great. I just didn't. I thought this was a bad way to go about it, personally. But yes, the next segment, I really enjoyed this backstage segment, kind of going off the back of that Hardy Elias opening bit. We saw producer backstage Adam Pearce,
biggest human being.
He is huge. Kind of backstage with like 12 other guys, and all of them were just being like, so what's going on? Because in the night it was supposed to be Daniel Bryan versus Jeff Hardy in the IC tournament, and it was supposed to be AJ Styles versus Elias in the tournament. So they say, well, we can't have either of those matches now. So AJ was just saying, well, I think it's pretty obvious. Now it's me versus Daniel Bryan in the final. We both just get to go to the final, right? And everyone was like, wait, no, hold up. We can't do that because you haven't fought enough matches. And it eventually came to it. I really enjoyed the segment. I thought it was very organic. They all came across as like being kind of they're in character still, but they came across as very genuine and very kind of, it's what their characters would say in this kind of situation. Mm. Sheamus and King Corbin calling him a pathetic junkie or whatever it was, you know, stuff like that. And then it came to it where they announced a 10-man battle royal. Whoever wins that will face Daniel Bryan later in the show. And AJ Styles gets to go to the final because he didn't want to fight anyone, which I really like. AJ Styles is the heel. Daniel Bryan's like, I want to give other people opportunities because he's such a good babyface. It just all made sense and I really liked it.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, like you said, everyone kind of said the part that you expect them to say. It was interesting just to see Drew Gulak back after being released for a week. Shorty G is just back now, I guess. Yeah. So that was good.
Which means he's definitely the hacker. Just Shorty G, confirmed hacker.
Of Shorty G, he, for me, was the MVP in the Battle Royal, as was to be expected. It was a fun, really fun match. The order of eliminations was Lince Dorado got chucked out, then Drew Gulak, then Grandmaster Leek, then Dolph Ziggler, King Corbin, Cesaro, Nakamura. Then Shorty G was thrown out illegally by Cesaro after Shorty G had just eliminated Nakamura. And then Sheamus was the last man standing after he eliminated Jey Uso. So Sheamus won the match. But yeah, Shorty G was easily the kind of standout star. He eliminated Nakamura, Cesaro. Did he eliminate Corbin as well?
I can't remember.
But he eliminated several people and he just showed off how awesome he is and how his name and the way he's been treated is so unjust.
He's so talented, and we saw it again later on in the night as well. But yeah, I've really thoroughly enjoyed this Battle Royal. I'm not a huge fan of generic Battle Royals on TV shows because generally it's just, here's a bunch of people you don't normally see. Most of them are just going to hide in the corner, and occasionally you'll see like a little throw. But there was tons of wrestling in this Battle Royal, loads of spots. Everyone kind of got a chance to shine a little bit, and we had some stories coming out of it. Some characters were built through it. I thought it was really good, really well-paced. And really good spots throughout. I thought it was really, really good. After that, we had Sonya Deville backstage cutting a promo about her opponent that night, who was going to be Lacey Evans. They had a pre-scheduled match, Sonya Deville versus Lacey Evans, which on paper is actually a pretty cool match. I really wanted to see Sonya get a win over Lacey, who's a bit more of an established name on SmackDown. Mm-hmm. She starts cutting a promo and Lacey Evans just walks into the shop behind her. Sonya doesn't know. And she's just kind of standing there for the whole promo. And then afterwards, Lacey just walks up to her and just pushes her over.
Yeah. I am tired of Lacey Evans' gimmick now. Her gimmick is, I'm a former Marine. I say the word nasty to people who I don't like. And that is it. There is nothing more to it anymore. She used to be the kind of, there was the whole, I'm a proud mum, I'm a proud former Marine thing. That was because she had like a bit more character. She was a passionate defending her family when she was facing up against Sasha Banks. But now it is literally, you're a nasty. And then the commentary goes, remember she was in the Marines, which I know, in WWE, being a former Marine is a gimmick you can have for your entire career, and apparently it doesn't get boring. But she just sort of was standing behind Sonya Deville, who said, oh, I beat up one blonde bimbo last week, I'm gonna do it again this week. And then she walks up and goes, pushes her over, and you're a nasty. And then they had a match which was fine, and then it ended in a double count out, and then Deville got thrown into the right into the corner of the announce table, which looked rough as anything.
That looked a brutal spot to take. But I actually quite enjoyed this match. I'm not, like you said, I'm not super into Lacey Evans's character, but I thought these two had some actually pretty good chemistry. I think they worked pretty well together. It's just a shame that the finish was a bit pants, because I was really looking forward to Sonya Deville actually getting the win over Lacey, because I figured she needs the win, Lacey doesn't. There's no reason for her to not win this. But but then they had a double countout finish, which was a lame double countout. Even for double countout standards, it was a bad double countout as well.
because I didn't realize the ref was even counting, and then it just went, oh, that's it. I was like,
no, the match is over.
Oh,
yeah.
Right, okay.
It's like Lacey was just beating up Sonya, like kind of in the apron. She got the apron and put it over Sonya and just kind of beat her up a bit. And then she rolled Sonya out a bit more. And then that was the 10 count. It's like, you should have done way more outside the ring before you got to 10, yeah, for sure. But then she took them. Yeah, she just threw her into the corner of the announce table, right on the corner, on her
kidney,
back. Like,
kidney ribs first. And I was like, oh, no. Yeah.
I want to take that. Yeah, it was horrible. But
it's a women's feud, and there aren't that many of those going around. So there are other women's feud. There's other teasers of women's things on this show. So it's good to see that Sonya Deville is getting what seems like a push, even if it's sort of a slightly ill managed.
Yes. So I'm hoping this leads to a match between the two. Potentially a backlash. Yes, that's still a thing.
I didn't realize you were going to do that, and I jumped slightly.
Potentially a backlash. I'd really like to see another match between them two. I really want to see Sonya get a win over her, because I think she's a star in the making.
Yes. But speaking of people who don't have a character other than the fact that they're former Marines, we had another Forgotten Sons promo. It's the third one in 3 weeks. Why aren't they on the show? This is getting a bit tiresome.
Agreed.
Because all they do is go, we're former Marines. We battle for our country. Now we're wrestlers. And it was a bit even, it was slightly even, it was more awkward this week because, is it Cutler?
It's Blake this week.
Blake.
Cut the promo.
Who cut the promo, who is the only one who wasn't in the army. So he goes, he was in the army. I wasn't, but I like the army. we're gonna win those belts.
Yeah.
And then they're sort of name dropped later by the New Day as their main rivals, but I don't buy into that because they beat the New Day clean on their debut, but they've done nothing since that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm hoping that this is the third of three promos because each of the three members has led a promo segment. Riker's done one, Cutler's done one, and now Blake's done one. I'm hoping that's the end of it. They've each done one promo each. Now they can come back to the show and start wrestling again. Fingers crossed they can do that. And I'm kind of into Forgotten Sons versus New Day right now. They've beaten them clean. I think they have something to prove. I'd be into seeing that match because I think Forgotten Sons have actually been pretty good on the main roster so far.
Yeah,
in terms of wrestling, anyway.
It's not the match that I'm not looking forward to. It's just, it feels very like prior to when Sheamus was coming back, it was just endless promos of him saying exactly the same thing, in a slightly different way, which is what they're doing. But as I said, we had it was like Alexa and Nikki were backstage, and then they were kind of going, oh, you'll never guess it. I've got a surprise for you. And then Biggie and Kofi came on and sort of appeared to say, to reveal they were going to be the guests on the Moment Bliss, and they called it a Tag Team Champion Summit.
They love a summit on
SmackDown.
God, it's dumb, isn't it? But anyway, they have the Moment of Bliss segment next, and there was some comedy with those two teams to start with, where Big E got some coffee beans out of his singlet. And made coffee with just water, no hot water, just water. Yeah. And then Alexa was going to drink it, and then she didn't, and she passed it off to Nikki.
But Nikki,
comedy.
She'd made some Scotch pancakes for my grandma's recipe. She'd make some Scottish pancakes, which are basically the small thick pancakes. So that was hilarious.
So funny.
The New Day asked who their biggest rivals are. They name drop the Forgotten Sons. And then Alexa and Nikki kindly remind us that there are two proper women's tag teams on the main roster. I get, like, obviously you've got Bayley and Banks, but they're not actually a tag. They are two single stars who are just friends. Whereas there are actually only two women's tag teams on the main roster, which is Bliss and Cross and the Iconics. And that is it. Now that Fire and Desire have split up, there are, unless they start making new tag teams out like Franken teams, the feuds for the women's championship tag team belts are going to be between Nikki Cross, Alexa Bliss as champions, and Bayley and Sasha, all the Iconics, all, as we've seen before, they try to like make Carmella and Dana Brooke work for a couple of weeks. It's just going to be a bunch of teams. We're going to have Liv Morgan and Natalia going for them or something like that. They just don't care about these belts.
Not at all. It's almost as if introducing them was a bad idea. Hot take. They really should have built up the women's division first and had proper women's tag teams before they introduced the tag team belts. Just my opinion. But yes, Bayley and Sasha Banks came out and interrupted this segment. They get into some beef with Alexa and Nikki. And then they do the same story again, which is Bayley makes a match on behalf of Banks against Alexa Bliss right then and there, except Banks is wearing high heels and she's not ready. Ooh. So Bayley runs to the back and grabs some shoes for her. Okay. I'm a big fan of long-term stories. Long-term stories are great, and we've been calling for WWE to do long-term stories for ages. But what I meant by long-term stories is not the same story told seven times before we actually get to a resolution, because they're still building this tension between Banks and Bayley, but it's the same tension all the time. It's not being built upon, it's just being replayed. They've done exactly the same thing before, where Bayley has made a match for Banks when Banks didn't want it, and then Banks had to wrestle. It's the same tension. It's not building tension, it's the same. We start at the same level and we finish at the same level. It's just, it's still there.
What we get the start of every week is they are good friends, and then there's a bit of tension, and then the next week they're friends, and then there's a bit of tension, and then the next week they're friends. Like you said, it's not building to anything. There's not more tension. It's the exact same amount of tension every week. I'm not more interested in it than I was 3 weeks ago. I'm the same amount interested in it. If anything, I'm slightly less interested, because I'm just going, well, I know what's going to happen next week. Sasha Banks is going to get put into a match that she doesn't want to be in, and then she's going to go, Bayley, what are you doing?
Or like, Bayley will accidentally say something that upsets Sasha, and Sasha's like, did you mean that? And Bayley's like, nah, I'm just kidding. And then they make up. It's like, well, it's the same thing every week. There's just a little bit of tension. Like, and there are
slow burning feuds. And then there is this, which is kind of every now and then someone accidentally lights a candle. But then we had the match, which was Sasha Banks versus Alexa Bliss. Pretty sure it was fine, whatever. We had Nikki Cross and Bayley just screaming on commentary, which was incredibly off-putting. But I will say,
as a slight plus for that, they may have been very loud. However, one, they made Michael Cole and Corey Graves laugh on commentary, which was quite funny, seeing them corpse. And also, they actually paid attention to the match, because a lot of the times when you have people on commentary, they just talk about themselves and like different feuds they're in and people they don't like and all that stuff. Pretty much the whole time, they were just cheering on the people that they were in the corner of, which was, it made you pay attention to the match a bit more than normal. It's a slight plus, but it's a plus nonetheless. I thought the match was pretty good. Sasha gets the roll-up win after Bayley and Nikki get involved. Bayley pushes Nikki into Alexa. She falls off the top rope, and then Sasha rolls her up for the win. And next week, we're going to have Bayley and Banks versus Bliss and Cross for the women's tag team titles. I assume Bliss and Cross will be retaining, though I think having the women's tag championships on Bayley and Banks could be quite fun also. Mm.
Yes.
Who knows?
But then we had, for me, even though it wasn't long enough, probably the match, the best singles match of the night. I did really enjoy the Battle Royal. But we had Cesaro versus Shorty G, which is of course set up earlier in the night. They're both really good at wrestling.
So good.
It was just so smooth, so slick, lots of like roll-up attempts and counters, and no one could get one up on the other. But then Cesaro just suddenly goes, "Do you know what? I'm going to hit a last ride," and just picks him up on his and just lifts him and just slams him down. I'm just thinking, okay. And then you got a two count out of it. I was like, oh, okay. It was the right call for Shorty to win, which he did in the end with a roll up.
It was a roll up, yeah.
Yeah. So,
but it was a great match. It was really fun, especially for the amount of time they got, and they left so much in the tank if they wanted to do like a pay per view caliber match with each other. And I'm hoping that because it was like a fluky roll up victory, I'm hoping they're building to more down the line, and we do get Cesaro versus Gable on pay per view. Maybe, you know, a backlash. Because that would be great, I think. It would be an awesome match. So after that, we had Otis and Mandy Rose. They were on vacation together, poolside somewhere. And this was so weird. So basically, this was just basically a softcore porn reel for Mandy and Otis. I loved it.
Yeah. it was so bizarre.
Yeah.
So Otis was pouring them drinks and he said, "Oh, I'm going to go for a swim, Matt." And he goes, "Do you want to come?" And Mandy goes, "No, I'm going to have a, I think I'm a bit tired. I'm going to have a nap." And then it does that kind of dream thing where it's, and then Mandy has a dream about Otis kind of being Daniel Craig, like James Bond in the water, sort of rising up. And
Mandy's just really horny the whole time.
Mandy is so horny, and they just start kissing, and it's one of the strangest kisses
and
I've
then
seen.
Mandy simulates ejaculation with a suntan lotion bottle. It's just it's bizarre. It's so strange. She gets woken up because in real life, Otis just does a cannonball in the water.
Yeah, he dives
covers
right.
Covers her in water. And then she's like, "Oh, no." And then he's like, "Oh, well, come swimming anyway." So then she did. And then they made out some more. It was weird. It was so funny, though.
He dives straight into the man deep end. And it was just 5 minutes of me going, okay.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that was great.
It was hilarious. It was so funny. I don't know what the point of it was, what it's building to or anything. No idea. But it was so funny.
It's just keeping a plate spinning. Like, look, totally. This is what they do when they're not wrestling. And it was a bit of fun.
The
Money in the Bank briefcase has lost a bit of momentum. I guess they're kind of like keeping that in the back pocket until maybe when fans are around.
I forgot he was Money in the Bank, Mr. Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
Well.
But then we had the kind of Matt Riddle promo that we discussed earlier.
Yeah. And we had Kayla Braxton backstage, as you'd like to say. And Sheamus interrupts her, and they're still harping on with that. The Intercontinental title was the only title I've never won. Apart from the Universal Championship. But, you know, that's fine. Then we got a recap of Miz and Morrison versus Strowman from last week, where they challenged him to a 2-on-1 handicap match at Backlash. Still going. And then we got the announcement of Bliss and Cross versus Banks and Bayley for the titles next week. Then we got the main event, which was Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus. And on Daniel Bryan's entrance, this is our SmackDown highlight of the week. Because this was something very special. This was during Daniel Bryan's entrance. They show some shots of the crowd doing the yes chant along with Daniel Bryan, which is nice because he's not been able to do the yes chant for quite a while because there's not been a crowd. So occasionally they played it off as a joke and he's gone, "Yes, oh, there's no crowd." Ha 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 ha. So now there was some NXT people in the crowd. Now he can do the yes chant along with them. There was one person was really excited about
and if I was gonna pick someone to be really excited, I would have gone, who's a real big baby face who we can like be in the crowd like getting really excited, really pumped up, someone who's like a really happy-go-lucky baby face. They chose Jessamyn Duke, who is well known for being quite a heel on NXT.
She
bloody loves Daniel Bryan. That was that.
Let's
look, just yeah, I won't
let's
say
take a
more.
Look. She's really excited, guys.
Oh, man.
So excited. And for podcast listeners, just think of the most excited Yes John you can picture. It's that times 10. Yeah. She bloody loves it.
Especially, you see the bloke in the background going.
Yeah, I was just about to say, yeah, you compare it to the guy in the background. Take another look at the guy in the background. And compare it to Jess Majewski. It's brilliant. It's so funny. That's our SmackDown highlight of the week, because she's nuts. But this match itself, Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus, I thought was really fun. I thought it was really nice to see Sheamus not have a 30-second squash match and for him to have a full match and to get to show what he can do against a guy like Daniel Bryan as well and the history they have together.
Yeah.
It made for a really fun match. There was a point in the match where Sheamus kind of was dominating Bryan and he was shouting at him. He was like, I'm responsible for the Yes movement. That only started from WrestleMania when I beat you in 18 seconds. I made the Yes movement. I was like,
yeah.
Oh yeah, that is when it started. God, that was a really cool thing to mention. I really, really enjoyed this match. And it got to the end point where it looked like Sheamus was potentially lining up for the bro kick, potentially going to beat Daniel Bryan. But then Jeff Hardy came out, who, lest we forget, had been arrested at the start of the show. No explanation as to why he was there. He just came out onto the ramp and the crowd were very excited to cheer for the man who ran over another man earlier in the night. And then Daniel Bryan hits the running knee, gets the win. Hardy gets into the ring, beats up Sheamus. Sheamus runs away. And Hardy's like, yeah, I'm here. And the crowd are like, yeah, go Hardy. You get that DUI, son. And then the show ended.
But I guess mystery solved, and we know now that I'm assuming we know now that Sheamus, and we know why he did it.
We don't know that though. They didn't say it in the episode, and while it might be, you know, that's a logical step to take, they didn't say that. And after the show on WWE.com, breaking news: here's how Jeff Hardy was at SmackDown. They released a statement. I've got a thing from Wrestling News Co. here. That said, it was explained by WWE that Orlando police released him from custody after he successfully passed the required field sobriety tests and therefore absolving Hardy of public intoxication charges, driving under the influence, and the hit and run on Elias. WWE did not explain how Hardy being sober would absolve him of a hit and run.
Yes. So I get the... So he's not publicly intoxicated because there's no... And he cannot have been driving under the influence.
Correct.
However, there is no reason why he can't have done the hit and run, because it was his car and he was found near the car injured.
Yes.
So unless they, I don't know, unless they just got, I didn't do it. And they go, well, all right. Fair enough. Yeah. Yeah, if you say so.
Argument,
I mean, you weren't drunk, so you can't possibly have done the hit and run. So off you pop. In fact, do you want a lift? Because you probably need to get that back there quickly. It did feel a bit Voldemort-y, where he sort of only comes back right at the end of the school year to attack. He really cares about Harry's education. So Jeff wanted to make sure that Sheamus had a good match before he returned.
Exactly.
And crowd loved it.
And the thing is, though, we didn't know any of that at the end of the show. We didn't know any of that. It was just Hardy's escaped from prison. He's here now. Remember, he was drunk and ran over Elias. He's probably still drunk, and now he's beating up Sheamus. The crowd? Yeah! The whole time. It was weird. It was super weird. But it seems like we're going to be getting to a thing where Sheamus has framed Jeff Hardy. That seems like the next logical step. But they didn't bloody say it on the episode, which just makes him turning up super weird. And I believe you've created a meme for this occasion, Andy. Because we're going to get to a point where Sheamus did it for the Intercontinental Championship.
He did.
A great meme, mate.
Thank you very much. It's quite clearly was Sheamus. If it's anyone else, it's completely weird. Like, what? Yeah. It's the only thing that makes sense. I mean, I think possibly he might have had help from Baron Corbin because of the it was Elias who got hit. And Baron Corbin and Elias have got a bit of history, or it might just be Sheamus and Elias just happened to be the guy who was in the other match.
Or it might have just been Corbin. Or it might have been the SmackDown hacker, because it's always the SmackDown hacker.
Maybe he hacked the car. Maybe there was no one in the car.
Yeah.
And he hacked the car to drive on its own.
Exactly. Yeah. Car. Mystery solved, guys. Mm. Anyway, showing off the air with Hardy in the ring. Overall, though, really liked this episode. Load of stories got made, which was refreshing. There was some really fun wrestling throughout it. Love Shorty G, love Brian, love Sheamus. I think the Banks Bliss match was pretty good. I think the Battle Royal was great. There was just some, it was a good episode. And I will say, with the crowd as well, the time absolutely flew by on this episode. I did sometimes when I'm watching SmackDown some weeks, I'm like, oh my God, I'm only halfway through. And I got to the end and I was like, oh, it's Brian versus Sheamus. Wait, is this the main event? And I was already like nearly finished it. Yeah, it was much better with the crowd there. Really, really liked it. I would give the show a 4 out of 5.
Personally. Yeah, 4 out of 5 is fair. There are a couple of things I don't like, but the majority of the stuff, I was like, this is really cool. A lot of the matches are really good. And like you said, it's so refreshing to see some storylines on SmackDown. I wasn't bored by the end of it.
Yes, which is a great achievement. So as we mentioned in the intro to this podcast, yesterday we recorded WrestleTalk After Dark for our $10 and above Patreon backers. And it's basically, if you don't know what After Dark is, we basically just do some talking points, talk about basically whatever. We ended up playing a game for a bit. It's just like 2 hours of us just chatting like we were at the pub. At one point we were asked if you could have, what was it, 3 flavors of crisps you could have on like a desert island or something. And then there was one which was if you could have a chocolate bar and a drink combination. And then it led into Randy Andy Datson here saying that he regularly ate, what flavor crisps was it?
Salt and vinegar crisps and...
Any brand of crisps.
Any brand. And then what you would do is you put one of those in your mouth. Actually, my mouth just started salivating. Even thinking about it, I know it's weird. It's like a Pavlovian response. In fact, I just finished a glass of my favorite beverage. I used to come home from school and I would raid the cupboard and I would grab a packet of salt and vinegar crisps and a glass of semi-skimmed milk. I don't know if it's called semi-skimmed in America, but like half fat. So it's like 1.5% fat milk. And what you do is you put a few salt and vinegar crisps in your mouth and then you pour in some milk and then you've got salty, vinegary milk. And it is an absolute delight. And then you've got a bit of milk left over for presumably a couple of biscuits or cookies or perhaps a chocolate bar. And it was just the highlight of my day. It was the perfect way to end a school day.
That is disgusting.
And everyone else on the podcast was revolted.
Yes.
And then I went on to say that I have cheese and onion crisps. You put them between two slices of bread and you smash those together. And then you have a glass of milk with that as well. It is...
Why?
Basically, everything you can eat, you can have it with a glass of milk. It is a universally wonderful drink. And there are people...
That's just not true.
But there are two kinds of people in this world. Mm. There are people, as you know, 3 kinds of people in this world. People who, like myself, are big milk drinkers. And they respect the fact that I like to drink milk. There is a second type of person who thinks, okay, he drinks milk. That's not an issue, whatever. And then there's the third kind of person who thinks that drinking milk should be, should deserve life imprisonment. There are people who get so angry and disgusted about the fact that I drink milk on its own rather than pouring it over my cereal or, having a milkshake. It's the same thing, just with a little bit less flavor.
I have no issue with you drinking milk by itself when it's by itself. I have issues with you combining milk with other things that don't combine with it. But anyway, we're getting off topic here. The reason we brought this up is because we want to hear from you guys. We're going to introduce a new segment on this podcast called Snack Lash, which is a brilliant name suggestion from Datson here.
Thank you very much.
So we want to hear, email in pete@russelltalk.com, email in your disgusting food combinations that you will stand by that you have and you enjoy, but everyone else thinks is revolting.
For example, I'm trying to think of some examples. The one that I mentioned yesterday was that someone got two slices of cake with marzipan on it and put cheese and onion crisps in between that and ate that as a sandwich. So you had sweet cake, jam, marzipan, and cheese and onion crisps. That was the meal. There was someone else who liked to put dip their French fries in Nutella. Crisps. I think crisps and Nutella is actually quite a common weird snack thing. Yeah, when I listened to this radio show, which is where I got the idea from, there were a lot of people calling in about dipping salt and vinegar crisps in chocolate spread. So I don't know if it's the saltiness, because obviously salt and chocolate is quite a good combination.
Totally, yeah.
But yeah, send us in your the things that you are embarrassed to admit that you enjoy.
Not even necessarily embarrassed. Maybe you're adamant and you stand by them.
Well, like I was.
Like you were, yeah. But just let us know. But speaking of emails, we've got some to read out here. We've got one from Reese here. It says, hello, Pete, and I presume Andy. I hope this email finds you well in these difficult and confusing times, and thank you all at WrestleTalk for putting out consistent content. Now, I once told myself I wouldn't send in a Datsun World problem. I don't often get frustrated with small things since, well, it's frustrating. I feel like that's a contradiction, but that's okay. But while listening to the 13th of May SmackDown outro, I was reminded of the last thing that bugged me more than it should have, to the point I'm still frustrated 5 years later. Simply put, do you know what's more frustrating than going to the shops and forgetting about the 5p bag charge? Being Welsh and hearing how it's awful and it will never work and so on, despite Wales and Scotland having it for years before England and having actual evidence that it reduced waste on a notable scale. Maybe it's just a holdover from the usual "the English don't care about us Welsh people," but living in England at the time and hearing it on a near daily basis from people I was studying / living with at the time drove me to distraction and, as noted, still bugs me 5 years later. Anyway, rant over. Thanks for putting up with it. Kind regards, Reese.
I mean, to get frustrated only once in 5 years is quite impressive.
Genuinely, yeah.
But I, as someone who used to live in Wales, I completely appreciate it. And as you know, I have a stash of Sainsbury's bags.
That's true.
So I very rarely forget. The only time I ever forget is if I'm, for example, going there on the way back from work and I just haven't got bags in my car. It is important to carry your bags. As someone who worked in retail for several years, it makes everyone's life easier. It makes your life easier. It makes the cashier's life easier. Just bring your own bags and everyone will be happy. Exactly. And I won't have grumpy people when I ask them, would you like a bag, saying, well, yeah, obviously, what do you think I'm going to do with it? Which happened on several occasions. And then I just had to smile and go, very well. Ha 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 ha. What a nice man you are.
Yes, pretty much. But yeah, totally agree with you, Reese. People ignoring evidence. That never happens in the world today. Anyway, we've got another email here from a perpetual emailer, Jonathan Hedman, the headmaster, Jonathan Hedman. He says, hello, Andy and Pete. I hope this email finds you well. Wow, what a SmackDown, huh? I don't know whether to be excited or annoyed about what happened, especially since I'm writing this about 45 minutes before it airs. But rest assured, I'm pretty sure something happened.
He had us in the first half. That's good.
Anyway, I just wanted to say hi and ask if either of you have heard of Dutch pop band sensation Hermes House Band. They would probably be best known in the UK for their cover of Country Roads and Football's Coming Home. I asked because a couple of their songs randomly played on my phone today while making deliveries. Anyway, that's all for new, for now. Currently in the Weight Loss Wrestle Talk Get Better TM copyright registered. I'm at 323, which is about 127 pounds lost. Wow. Still not where I want to be, but I'm not where I was. Anyway, take care. Hopefully I'll have a job update soon. Jam that jam, Jonathan.
Well, Jonathan, that means you have lost an entire Andy Datsun.
Same.
That is like having me... So imagine you're Luke Skywalker and I'm Yoda. That's like you throwing Yoda off. Mm. That is quite impressive. Obviously, I'm slightly more powerful with the Force, but that is incredible work, Jonathan. I'm very proud of you for that, and keep going, and I'm sure you'll reach your goal weight in no time.
Absolutely, yeah. Fantastic work, mate. We've got, we'll do one more email today. We've got another email here from Drew, who emailed in before about asking me to make a character for him in D&D.
And you refused because you're a bastard.
I said no, because you should be making your own characters. That's the fun of it. And Drew said, so after hearing the horrible news of you not making me a character, I made my own Loxodon rogue called Larry. And well, he couldn't hit anything, so I need some of you and Andy's luck, please. Also, can I have a suggestion this time for characters? I like to play comedic characters. Cheers, yours sincerely, Drew. A fun character idea. Let's go. You should play... you should play a barbarian that never rages. Yeah, that'd be good. Just do something like that. Someone who's scared to rage as a barbarian. Someone who's a barbarian scaredy cat. There you go. There's a character suggestion for you. Boom. Make that.
I don't know. A dwarf with a drinking problem.
That's pretty standard. But thank you for the email, Drew. I hope you have a bit more fun with your D&D characters. That's probably the time we've got for this episode of the Wrestle Talk podcast. Got a couple more emails, but we'll read them out next week, hopefully with your installments of Snacklash as well. Look forward to those emails. Thank you very much for listening, everyone. We'll be back next week with more content, the usual roundup of stuff. Thank you very much for listening. I love you all. Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.